it's Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe McGee. Welcome back to the Heroes of Faith. It's one of my favorite stories today, and they're all good. I like all of them, but some are really unique. This is about this story of Balaam, a wise man in the Bible. Now, he wasn't really a wise man, but he turned out good. But boy, there were some left turns and right turns and dips and ducks with this story. So listen, we're going to come to this. This is in Numbers chapter 22. Great story, Numbers 22. The Israelites pitched their tents on the plains of Moab near the Jordan River. When Balak, the king of Moab, heard that they were there, he was afraid. He had heard what the Israelites did to the Amorites. He knew they had taken the land of the Amorites and the land of Bashan. Because he knew the Israelite army was larger than his, he thought, well, they'll take my country away from me. Maybe they'll even kill me. Because when you don't know God, you always, listen guys, when you don't know the word of God, when you don't know God, you think the worst. The devil's going to plant stupid thoughts. The Bible says, think on these things, whatever's lovely, honest, just, praiseworthy, or good report. Think on these things. Don't think on those things. Think on the things of God. And so this guy here, he's not thinking good, man. He's thinking, man, they're going to take over my country. They're probably going to kill me. It says, now finally King Balak decided to send for Balaam, a wise man of Midian. Surely Balaam could help. King Balak called some of his princes and sent them over to Balaam with this message. The Israelites have come from Egypt to the border of my country. There's so many of them. You know, they seem like they cover the whole earth. I'm afraid they will take our country, for they are mighty. I want you to come and help me. You're very wise. It is said that you speak against the people, and they become weak. If you bless them, they become strong. In other words, you're an anointed man. Now, that unbelievers don't know what to call it, but he had an anointing. So the princes went to Balaam with the king's message. In their hands was the money King Balak had sent to Balaam for his help. Balaam told the princes, I do not know whether the Lord wants me to go with you or not. Stay here tonight, and in the morning I will know. Well, during the night, God asked Balaam, who are the men in your house? And Balaam answered, they are the princes from Moab. King Balak sent them to ask me to help them. From Egypt, the Israelites have come into his land. And there's so many of these people. He's afraid. He wants me to speak against them in your name so they will become weak. Well, God told Balaam, do not go with the princes of Moab. You must not speak against the Israelites, for I have blessed them. Well, that's really good. In the morning, Balaam told the princes God did not want him to go with them. And the princes took Balaam's message back to their king. When King Balak heard this, He said even greater princes, people higher up to Balaam. They said, King Balak said to let nothing stand in your way, but come to him. He will give you great honor. He'll do for you whatever you ask. Balaam told his princes, if King Balak would give me the house full of gold and silver, I could not change the word of the Lord. But if you want to wait until morning, I will talk to the Lord again. Well, while the princes slept, God told Balaam, if the men come to call you to get up and go with them, be sure to do whatever I tell you. In the morning, Balaam did not wait for the princes to call. Instead, he got up and saddled his ass. When they awakened, he took two servants with him. God sent an angel to trouble Balaam. The angel stood in the road with a sword in his hand. Now, Balaam did not see the angel. But his ass did. The donkey saw it. The animal ran off the road into the field. Balaam hit the animal, trying to get her back on the road. Soon they came to a path that went to a vineyard. On either side was a stone wall. Again, the angel stood before them. The donkey was so frightened that it ran into the wall. Balaam's foot was crushed against the wall. He was so angry that he hit the donkey again, hit her again and again. Finally, the angel stood in a narrow place in the path. The donkey could not get around the angel. This time, the animal sank to the ground. And Balaam grew even angrier. He hit the animal with a staff. And God gave the donkey a voice. And the donkey asked Balaam, what have I done that you should hit me three times? I guarantee this hadn't happened before. because Balaam is so angry, he did not think it strange for the donkey to speak. Balaam said, if I had a sword, I would kill you. The donkey reminded Balaam that if she had always carried him to safety since the day that he had bought her, Balaam knew that the donkey was right. Then the Lord let Balaam see the angel. Balaam bowed his head and fell to the earth. The angel asked, why have you hit your donkey three times? Three times she saw me in your path and turned away. Three times she saved your life. Balaam said to the angel, I've sinned. I did not know you were standing in front of me. I will go back home if you don't want me to go. The angel told Balaam, no, go with the princes of Moab and be careful to speak only the words of the Lord. Numbers chapter 26, Balaam comes before the king. When King Balak heard Balaam was coming, he rushed to meet him. Why didn't you come sooner? The king asked. Don't you know I'm in trouble and I'm able to honor you? Balaam answered, I cannot promise to help, even though I have come. I can speak only the words that God gives me. Perhaps King Balak thought the wise man was trying to make him more money from him, trying to snook him and take more cash. He didn't understand that Balaam could not speak against the people in the name of the Lord if God did not approve. As an idol worshiper, King Balak did not understand about the true God. The next day, King Balak took Balaam to the top of a mountain. They looked down the plain and saw the Israelites' camp. Balaam told the king to build 7 altars and offer to the Lord an ox and sheep in each one. Then Balaam went further down to the mountain to talk to the Lord. And the Lord told Balaam to say to the king. Balaam returned to the king and the princes, and he said, how can I say anything against this people when God does not have anything for me to say? And Balaam blessed the Israelites and told how great they would become. And then Balak demanded, what have you done to me? I do not want you to bless these people. I want you to speak evil of them. Balaam reminded the king, listen, guys, I must say what the Lord puts in my mouth. The king thought he would try again. He took Balaam to another place where no one could see the part of the Israelite camp. Here again, he built 7 altars, offered the sheep and ox to the Lord. After Balaam spoke to the Lord again, he told the king, what the Lord has promised, he will do. He commanded me to bless the Israelites. I cannot change it. God brought them out of Egypt, and God made them strong. Now the king said, Balaam, if you can't say evil of them, don't say anything at all. Still the king thought he could change Balaam's mind. He took him around to a third place and built altars and offered sacrifices. Balaam knew it pleased the Lord. If it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he said, how good are your tents, O Israel? Your land will be rich. It will be beautiful. Your king will be great. Your kingdom will be exalted. How angry King Balak was. He said, I plan to give you riches and honor, but your God has kept them from you. Now get away from me as fast as you can. And although Balaam had spoken only the word of the Lord in his heart, he wished he could have a little, he could please the king, because he was a clever man. He thought another way to help Balak. If they could get the Israelites to worship idols, then God would not be with them. And so that's what they did. The Moabites, the Midianites, made friends with the Israelites. Soon the young men of Israel married young women from Moab and young women from Midian. Since the Moabites and the Midianites worshipped idols, these young men took their husbands. Young women took their husbands to the feast of their gods. And this way Israelites bowed down to idols. God could not have his people worshiping idols, as Moses commanded. All those who had sinned in this way were killed. The Israelites were victorious over the Midianites, and the Midianites, Moabites. In the battle of Balaam, Balaam was killed because he had caused the children of Israel to sin. So in chapter 32, at this time the Israelites lived in the land they had taken from their enemies. The land was good for pasture, and the Israelites, especially for the tribes of Reuben and Gad. They had many cattle and sheep. The tribes liked the rich pasture lands of the country east of the Jordan. So well, they said to Moses, if it's all right with you, let us have this land for our own instead of going over to Canaan. And Moses asked them, well, would your relatives want to go to war and take Canaan while you stayed here? The people would be very discouraged if they knew you were not going to help them help them take the land of Canaan. Then the two tribes promised Moses, "We will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and our cities and our families. Then we will go with you and help you take the land of Canaan. We will not return to our homes until Canaan is yours." And when Moses heard this, he agreed to the children of Gad and Reuben and half the tribe of Manasseh. And he gave them the land that belonged to Sihon, the king of the Amorites, and Og, the king of Bashan. And these tribes settled in the cities east of Jordan, built folds for their sheep, and planned to make a country, that country their home. And it ended really, really good. So what you've got a process where God was always thinking of everybody else. I'm trying to bless you, but I won't make you. It's the story of the Bible, both Old and New Testament. God said, "I won't make you trust me. I won't make you believe me. I won't make you follow me. I'm going to give you a choice." That's where I used to tell the high school kids, God said, "I set before you life, death, blessing, and cursing. You choose. You want to choose life? You want to choose death? You want to choose blessing?" God said, "I'm not going to make you. I'm going to give you a choice. Choose. But I'll give you the answer." And he said, listen, where the chapter is doing it, he says, choose life, death, blessing, cursing. God says, "Oh, that I would that you would choose life." He even gave him the answer. Choose life. It'll turn out a whole lot better for you. And so God's trying to help every time, whether it's Old Testament or the New Covenant, both groups, starting all the way back with Abraham. God's trying to bless. God's always trying to bless. God always wants to bless. God didn't want to curse. Well, God's sending a curse. Well, God didn't want to. God's trying to bless, but he's needing you to agree with him. God needs you to agree with what he's trying to do. And so I tell the people, from whatever story you get, and what was so great, those 10 years that I taught chapel at that Christian school, I went through the Bible 10 times in 10 years. Children's Bible Storybook that I used, great book, called Egermeyer's Bible Storybook. And I went through that 10 times in 10 years. Now, I went to two great Bible schools, have 2 degrees, and I love that. But what I learned was that about Children's Bible Storybook. In nice, simple, modern English, what'd you learn? Well, God's good, devil's bad, people are stupid. That's theology 101, 102, and 103. God's trying to bless, but God won't make you receive the blessing. God's trying to help, but he won't make you receive the help. He said, listen, I've set before you life and death. Choose. And you got to think about it. Well, Lord, that's kind of hard. Can you give me a few days to think about that? Life or death? Let's see, which one? Blessing or curse? Well, Lord, which one? That's kind of tough. Which one? God even gave the answer. So God loves everybody, but he will not make us do it. He won't. I get to choose. My wife gets to choose. My children get to choose. My grandchildren get to choose. But I pray this every day. Father, I give you permission. Teach me and my family to fear you. Teach my children, my grandchildren, teach my foster children, teach my relatives, teach those that are married into our family. Lord, teach us to fear you. For the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and with that wisdom is long life, riches, and honor, Proverbs 3:16. What are you looking for? Long life. What else are you looking for? Riches. What else? Honor. Kind of greedy, aren't you? No, God told me I could have it. God promised me long life, riches, and honor. And that's all I want. So God, teach us to fear you. And that's going to be fulfilled. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, God bless, guys. Thanks for listening. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it. All there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.